Welcome to the Change Your World Virtual Summit put on today by the Public Speakers Association. And I am so honored to introduce to you Mrs. Linda Larson-Slitz. She's got a full name because she's got a full presentation that's about to wow you. So, Linda, why don't you take it from here?
Oh, thank you so much, Tanya. I'm really excited to be here, and it's been a technology nightmare here. I'm at a resort, and everything went down here 20 minutes ago, our phones, everything. But hopefully you can hear me okay, because I've got a great thing to share tonight, and I know that there are people out there listening that have been through what I've been through, which is getting up in the morning, wishing you didn't have to go to work, being miserable, getting ulcers, migraines. I've been an employer. I've wanted to tear my hair out because people just didn't follow. They didn't show up. They didn't work when they were there. They had bad attitudes. I know that everybody that might be listening, either now or if you pick up on this at a later point, you've been there. You've done that. Maybe you haven't been an employer, but maybe you've had one of those employers that was just not a very nice person. They were angry all the time. They were just, you know, just made that place a miserable place to be. And that's a horrible thing. And I love what I'm doing now. Because, you know, there just is those stressors. And unfortunately, not everybody who is in management in a business knows how to manage people. I'm one of those people that tried to manage an organization. You know, I had the head knowledge, but it's different when you have to put it into place. And then sometimes you inherit policies and programs and procedures that aren't very user-friendly when we're talking about dealing with people that might have mental illnesses or substance abuse or have some other kind of issue that makes them different than what we think they should be like. So that's what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to tell you today how you can fix that problem, whether you're an employer or whether you're the employee that is having the problem that you just have not known what to do about it and you're thinking, oh, I'm just going to quit. That's not the solution. I've got a better solution. So I hope you'll hang on with me for the next 20 minutes because I'm going to lay a foundation for you that I'll follow up with on I'm going to do a couple more webinars in the next couple weeks. That'll be free. And then on April 9th, I've got a three-hour webinar that is incredibly cheap. So I'll tell you more about that later. But here's what you need to know. You know, that conflict at work, the people that don't know how to cope. I know that I'm in Wisconsin, and we are the beer state in Wisconsin. Actually, my name is Schlitz, the Milwaukee beer, and it's a problem. We are one of the top states in the nation for binge drinking. We're also one of the top states for suicide, and high rates of unemployment cause some of these problems. And people are unemployed because they're miserable at their jobs or they're miserable being there. They may be good workers, but they're not in a good fit. So that's what I'm going to try to help you with today, to realize these things. So maybe you're a family member of somebody who's really miserable in their job, and my husband had to deal with me when I've been through that at various jobs and wanting to do what I'm doing now. It makes it hard to get up. So, you know, maybe you're a counselor that's trying to help people. Maybe you're counseling somebody who's got a drug or alcohol problem or depressed because they hate going to work. So here's the solution to it. My name is Linda Larson-Schlitz, like Tanya said, and I'm a master's level counselor and a licensed social worker in Wausau, Wisconsin. I've been facilitating hope, I call it, and for me, hope is a definition of help, opportunity, praise, and encouragement, and that's kind of what I see myself as. I've been doing this in the counseling field for almost 25 years now. I consider myself a faucet, and because a faucet, if somebody's dying of thirst, a faucet can save their life, providing it's hooked up to the water. And, you know, it doesn't matter what the faucet looks like as long as it brings the water. And that's my thing. People may be rough around the edges. They may not be pretty. They may not say things in the correct way. But they've been gifted with something, and that's what faucets do. They give living water. They give life-giving water to people who need it. And that's what everybody does. I'll talk more about that faucet analogy a little later. But that's what I see myself to be, is helping people. I waitressed for 20 years, and then I went back to school, and my first job was as a school counselor. Then, you know, I didn't fit. And this is part of my message. We don't always fit in various places. I loved working with the problem kids. I loved doing the school counseling. I couldn't stand the teachers who didn't like the kids. And I was drawn to the obnoxious adolescent who was, you know, just horrible to deal with. And I couldn't stand the teachers that would kick him out of class. That wasn't a good fit for me. So then I went into being an outpatient counselor so I could work with those troubled kids and their families. But I hated charging them this horrible amount of money, and then they'd run out, and then they couldn't see me anymore. I didn't like that. I was an employee, so I didn't have the option of flexing the payments kind of thing, or I would have done that, surely. So that was a difficult thing for me. Fortunately, I taught school. I taught undergrad and graduate school, kind of did that on the side. But then I got a job working for the state of Wisconsin as a career counselor, and at one point also was the disability navigator working for the state of Wisconsin. And I love that job. I did that for the last 16 years, and I really enjoyed that. What I observed in the job center, I worked with employers, I worked with job seekers, and I worked with a lot of people who had been chronically unemployed, were homeless, had no place to go, and they were, many of them had been in the wrong career. They've been in the wrong kind of work environment, or maybe the wrong job within that system. And because of that, they either quit, they got fired, or they got sick. And getting sick, it may mean ulcers and migraines. It may mean developing a mental illness like anxiety or depression. Some of us have inherited these mental illnesses, because what it is, it's like diabetes. It's a hereditary thing, and it's a chemical imbalance in the brain. This is part of what is the foundation for what employers need to do differently, and we all do. We need to think differently about mental illness and about substance abuse, because it is a physical problem that not everybody has, but because of that physical problem, things go haywire and people behave differently, and they can't do what other people can do. So first off, you've got to realize that. And I really loved that part of my job in the job center, helping those people and empowering them to realize that they did have something to offer and that they weren't worthless because maybe they had a bad criminal record, or they had, you know, issues, or they'd been in and out of treatment. Everybody's got something to offer. What I've observed through those many years is that I can't get people jobs very easily when they're living under a bridge. I can't, even if I could get an employer to hire them, I couldn't find them. They didn't have a cell phone at that time. They didn't have a place to clean up. You just can't help people in those situations. So, you know, that's the first order of business. You've got to look at what do people need to not end up with all those other issues and resort to stealing because they're homeless and they have no food. Well, you've got to get the basic needs taken care of. So for these people, and unfortunately, a large majority of the people that I was working with were homeless veterans, and that's just not even right. So that was the first thing we needed to do. And in our community, we have some great services, but we did not have enough homeless programs, and we didn't have programs that really offered a rehabilitation program as part of that. So I'm kind of one of those visionary entrepreneurs. I may be hyperactive, and I might be a little manicky at sometimes and go off on tangents, but I got a lot of great ideas. If I could just find the other faucets that can help me, man, we could really turn the world upside down. But I did find some great people to help start this program, which we started, that ended up becoming a 46-bed, five houses, three businesses, that these people found purpose. They were living there. Now we had their needs met. Their, you know, they had clothes on their back, roof over their head, and food in their stomach. And that's what they needed. Now they needed purpose and meaning. That's what people need. They need purpose and meaning. But you know what? A lot of us don't even know what our purpose is. We don't know what meaning there is. For me, it's a spiritual thing. I believe that God created me for a purpose in life, and that purpose is to help other people realize what they're created for and then how to do it and be able to do it not just on the weekends or when they're not working, to do it full-time and get paid to do it because a workman's worthy of his hire. And so that's my mission, is to help get people into the right jobs, in the right place, getting what they need and being happy doing it. See, that's the problem in the work environment. That's the problem with employers and why there's so many miserable people. Part of it is that we don't know how to put people in the right places. And we also don't know how to take the risk to go for the gold, so to speak, and to, I call it, a buttectomy. That's what we needed. That's what I needed last year. And thank God for Tanya Hoffman. She has helped me do that by getting me off my butt. And I've actually become a, what I call a professional buttectomologist, because that's what I do. I help people face the excuses that they're making for not doing their dream. So it's not talking about getting off of your derriere. It's talking about getting off of the, but I don't have enough money, but I don't know how, but nobody would ever buy my stuff, but nobody will ever sign up for my workshops, but what if I'm not good enough? Those are excuses that are going to keep us in the pit that we're in. But is just an argument for our limitations. And when we argue for our limitations, guess what? We get to keep them. I love that statement. I heard it, I don't know, on some inspirational thing. But is an argument for our limitations. And when we argue for our limitations, we get to keep them. Nobody should be limited. Employers should not be limited on how much they can make in their business because they have people that are calling in sick and leaving work early and coming in late and not working while they're there because they're too depressed and upset and they're not in their niche at that job. So that's what we need to do. We need to figure out how to help these people. And so what we did in the program that I started with my friends and my colleagues and my family is to help these people realize that they have a purpose. And the purpose that they had was to keep a roof over their own heads because we had no funding to do it. I learned how to write grants, and I wrote grants, and I wrote grants, and I wrote grants, and I thought the VA would really come through. Nothing against the VA, but there are a lot of other places with larger groups of people that needed help than Wausau, Wisconsin. So I had to get creative. So getting creative, I saw two needs. I saw people who needed a purpose, and I saw people in the community who needed help. This is the key. This is the key to me as a speaker and a trainer and a coach. This is the key to an employer, is you've got to see what the need is and then who's the best person to meet that need. And then you got to prove it somehow. So that is what we did in our program. We had a need in our community because we are a very aging population. I'm a baby boomer as well, and there's a lot of older folks in my community that needed help with lawn care and snow removal. So we started with these guys just getting out of the house to volunteer to help a couple of the Korean vets. That's how it all started, because we had a lot of vets. They helped these folks, and then the people would give them a tip and give a donation to the nonprofit. Well, this seemed to be working out well. Long story short, 2 years later, We've got three businesses, a secondhand store, lawn care, snow removal, and these guys are brought in $400,000 without any paid staff primarily to oversee it. I also was a volunteer managing this organization. It was a little nuts when I was working full-time. But it was so meaningful because these guys had a chance to start at ground zero. They didn't have to worry about being hired. It was part of the training program. And they had a chance to try everything out. It was actually part of the program. They had to try out and see how they did at customer service and how to do a store layout and how to actually manage other people and how to price things and how to mow a lawn and how to do snow removal and how to organize scheduling. These are all things that the community needs to have done, and it's a great way for people to test out what you like and what you don't like. One thing I discovered is that a lot of people that end up in manufacturing or labor jobs are creative like me. They're artists, and they don't know how to get their artwork noticed. So eventually, I have a website that will host all of those creative people, but we started a gallery of hope, I call it, where these people could do their artwork, make their creative things, and then sell them. What employers need to do is this same kind of thing. They need to be looking at and learning how to assess their people. Now, granted, we have processes and programs and we have policies, and this is part of the problem, is that we have policies that try to put people in the proverbial box because they think that's what's fair. And fair is not treating everyone the same, so they fit into that box. Fair is acknowledging and supporting each person's uniqueness so they can function at the highest level possible. That's my quote. I'm going to say it again because I think this is the core. Fair is not treating everyone the same so they fit into the proverbial box. Fair is acknowledging and supporting each person's uniqueness so they can function at the highest level possible. That is key, and that's what it takes. That's what it's going to take for people to learn how to turn their business around, how to be happy at work. It is, whether you're an employer or an individual, no matter where you are, these principles work, because if you're looking at somebody else as a thorn or an obnoxious piece of dirt, or like these folks used to be, a worthless piece of trash or a dirtball scumbag or just an addict or an alcoholic or a nutcase, we are missing out on the value that that individual, there's no way that we can get a blessing from that person if we are looking at them in such a negative manner. So in turning this whole thing around, such awesome things happen when you do good things like this and you just let the goodness of God flow through you. I ended up, and my husband, we got the Red Cross Heroes of the Year for this. I got the Athena Award for just giving these people an opportunity to shine. And that's what employers need to do. So you've got to evaluate people and really take a look at what do they have to offer, what are they good at, what do they enjoy, what are their talents, skills, abilities. And we don't do that when we hire people. We hire somebody because we have a need and they're walking and talking. But, you know, what's funny is I had a guy, and he's actually my special speaker at my training on the 9th of April. His name is Dave Mahler, and I've got his story on my website on my e-zine. It's just incredible. But Dave is one of those people who saw through that, and he called the job center and said, I need to hire people who are going to show up for work. And, well, okay, that's a no-brainer, but it wasn't in those days. So I said, well, what kind of skills do you need? And he said, well, I'll give them a hammer and a banana, and if they pick up the banana, I'll teach them which one to use to pound a nail if they show up. So it's those kinds of things. And what Dave did, and I didn't really even know until a couple months ago when I asked him to speak at my webinar, what he was doing, but he had such a unique program that the employer said, whatever you're doing, keep doing it. You have made me so much money and turned the organization around so much. I don't care what you're doing. So Dave went ahead and put in an order for Bibles because that's what he was doing. He was doing a 12-step recovery program using the recovery Bible. And, I mean, how amazing. Where did he get his people from? He got his employees. I sent him all my jail guys because, man, they wanted to get out of jail and they wanted to show up for work. So Dave had that, and he mentored these guys, and he said part of it is I made sure I went to every single employee every single day and said, hello, how are you doing today? How's the family? And he added the anything I can pray for. Now, this wasn't a Christian organization. It was a manufacturing thing. And, you know, that may not work in every environment, but the point is Dave showed care and concern for each individual. And our policies and procedures don't do that. They try to put everybody in that box. And so if you have a mental illness, if you have bipolar, I have hypomania, type 2 bipolar, okay? Most people would say nutcase. Okay, some people who know me would probably agree with that. I also have attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. Do I have issues? Absolutely. My issues are staying organized is a real problem for me. So my boss, previous boss, made accommodations for me. He let me have volunteers who would come in and help do my calendar and say, hey, Linda, don't forget you've got to be here or got to be there. It made me so much more productive than I would spend days trying to do that calendar, and then I'd forget where I put it or I'd put things on the wrong days. You need to know what you're good at, what you're not good at, fess up to it, and then get people to help you do what you can't. Employers need to do this for people, and it isn't that tough. It may be as simple as just teaming people up, getting someone from another department to be kind of a peer mentor or a support person to help that person in whatever it is. It may be doing a flexible schedule, so if people have to go to a doctor's appointment or see a counselor, they will let them off instead of give them occurrences, which many employers do. You get 3 occurrences, you're done. Well, what if you're sick? I mean, I've got employers that have fired people for going to the hospital with a heart attack. Oh, my gosh, that's not even right. And they wonder why they have turnover and why the cost is so high. Well, these are the kinds of things that I'm going to teach people how to do and how to implement. How do you structure this? Why should you structure this? I'll tell you one reason why, if you're an employer, because every year employers spend between $80 and $100 trillion, trillion, not million dollars, trillion dollars, no, billion dollars, to address just the people with mental health issues in the workplace. And I kind of throw in substance abuse because it all goes together. That is a lot of money to spend that you could be spending or could be, you know, taking a vacation with, but you're having to invest it on Band-Aids when there is a solution that is very cost effective. And that is trying to understand each person and getting to know them and doing those assessments. I have a whole other workshop I do on online assessments that are completely free for people to do to get a feel for some of those things that they need to do. I've got one on my Fawcett Ministries website. It's a spiritual gifts assessment. I have other ones that I'm going to be putting on my website so that people can take those as well. But, you know, this is what they need to do. And on April 9th, I'm going to be doing a much larger version of this. And it's going to show people how to do these things, how to make these accommodations, what kind of policies do you need, how not to get sued for discrimination if you're an individual with a disability, how to advocate for yourself so that you can get the accommodations you need. And that's what I did at work. I went with my little list from the Job Accommodation Network, JAN, online. It's a wonderful site. And I was very fortunate to have a boss who was willing to help me. But he knew my potential if I was able to get support in the areas I wasn't very strong. And I accomplished a lot and got a letter from the governor and everything just because truly, because I had some of that help. So now my passion is to get out to those employers and help them realize that there is a problem and there is a solution, and I can help with that. So I'm also looking for individuals who might go, yeah, that's I got employers I could send that information to. Well, what I'm going to do is, if anybody wants to get on board with this and help me to promote my next webinar, I'm doing a couple free ones, so please email me. I'll send you those. But on April 9th, it's only $60 for 3 hours. Oh, my gosh. That same slot, I'm going to charge employers $500 for. So get in on it, $60 for a three-hour training that's really going to go into much more depth here, obviously, than I'm going now. And if you will help me to get the word around, I will pay anybody who's willing to partner with me 30% of whatever sales come about, or how whatever people sign up for. So that's $18 every time somebody signs up for my webinar. So if you want to help with that and make some money, hey, help me out with that, and that would be great. But I'm just very excited to be on here. If you want more information, just go to my website. It's www.LindaLarson, Schlitz, like the Milwaukee beer, schlitz.org. LindaLarsonSchlitz.org, all one word. Or you can email me at linda@lindalarsonschlitz.org. I'm also on Facebook and all the other LinkedIn, all those different ones. So please get in touch with me. I want to help, and if I can help you in your community or your place of business or someone else in some way, please get a hold of me. I want to help you. So Tanya, back to you. I know Tanya's going to turn this off and then turn it on in case people have questions. So she'll be coming back on here in a minute. So I'm really grateful that you, you know, people are tuning in for this, and really excited to be able to offer these opportunities. So hopefully, you know, I got people that will sign up for that. So I know Tanya's coming back on here. I've just had terrible problems with this phone system today, so I hope it's not me on this end. Hello. I'll just keep talking until Tanya comes on here. So part of the issue, too, that I want to talk about is that this, I do a whole separate section for churches and for people that want to turn things upside down in their congregations, that may also want to help them in some way to get to know who's in their church and what gifts they have. So that's part of why I have that spiritual gifts thing on there. So that's another place that you can go to